Okay, 30 days, half September, April, June, and okay, so July is one of those months where there are 31 days. We get an extra day. We may need it this month. That's just kind of the way it's been in the car business. It's been slower everywhere. I mentioned this yesterday in our radio program. Oh, by the way, hi, this is Lenny Lawson, the car guru, not self-proclaimed. That was a customer in the showroom at Gateway Ford one day and said, boy, you must be a car guru. And I said, ding, the light went off. At the time, I was doing a radio show with, it was a one day a week thing for about 15 minutes up in Johnson City at the Cumulus. Well, they weren't Cumulus back then when I first started. They were, somebody else owned them. But now they're Cumulus. And now we do a show that is pretty much 5 days a week. So I do try to encourage and enlighten, give you tips. Yesterday we talked a little bit about, you know, probably the most frequent encounter with a car dealership is in the service department. Wouldn't you agree? You know, I guess a lot of people really drag out the purchase process when they're buying a car. They do a lot of shopping around. Well, they used to. You know, buying a car 30 years ago was totally different, wasn't it? I mean, you probably read the Kingsport Times news and saw the classified or saw the ads in the classified section, or maybe the Johnson City Press. What's the Bristol paper? Herald Courier. Wonder who Herald Courier was. But anyway, yeah, you would read the paper or you maybe see a TV commercial. But then you got in your car and you went, you know, from dealership to dealership, right? Isn't that the way it used to happen? I remember when we had the Chevy store over on Church Street in Greenville, folks would, you know, if they lived in Greenville, sometimes they would just stay in town. Many times, though, they would go shopping in Morristown or Bristol, Johnson City, and then they'd come back and said, can you beat this? Or they would take your price and go shop it around someplace else. And so that's kind of the way it was. And right now, most of that is done online. There are still some folks, older folks like me, that like to see, touch, feel, hear, and evaluate a vehicle that way. There's a whole new generation of people that are used to Amazon, and they don't need to try something on. If they don't like it, they just send it back. And Carvana, whatever that failing company is, they are tried the same thing. Where if you don't like it, you just send it back. I think maybe Tesla did that as well. That always doesn't work as well as they think. You know, noticed the dealership in Johnson City. I don't know, Toyota, maybe. That if you buy a used car and you don't like it, you can take it back within a certain period of time. You can take it back. They didn't say they're going to give your money back. They just says you can trade it for something else. So maybe that's not such a great deal. Not that, you know, the Toyota dealership isn't offering great deals, because they probably are, since they're probably one of the number one selling dealerships in the Tri-Cities, especially used cars. I think them and Bill Gatton, or is it still called Bill Gatton? The Mazda Acura dealership, I think, sells more used cars than just about any dealer does east of the Mississippi. Probably not. Probably east of Nashville, I'm sure. They sell a lot of used cars. Don't know why, really, except they buy a lot. They buy from all over the country. I understand they have multiple buyers that just sit there on the phone all day trying to buy cars from at auctions and from individuals. And then they turn around and flip them at a relatively low margin. And some of those cars are great, I'm sure. Some of them are not. You know, you just don't know when you buy a used car online or when you buy something that you really haven't evaluated. That's why I'm not a big fan. You know, let's say, okay, you're looking at a Ford Fusion. I'm sitting in my office. I'm looking outside of my picture window. I see a white Ford Fusion out there. I don't know whether it's, I don't even really know what year it is. It looks like maybe a 2018 model or something. They stopped making them in 2020 or 2021. Great car. But, okay, so if I were to see this car in pictures and see the options, let's say it's a titanium model, fully equipped leather. It's got all the goodies, you know, good engine. It's got all the features and everything that I would want, heated, cooled seats and stuff like that. And so it checks all the boxes as far as equipment. Miles look decent and stuff. But you know what I can't tell? I can't tell if somebody smoked in it. I can really can't see if it's got any big stains in the carpet or in the, you know, the leather is not in great shape. I have no idea how the car was driven, you know, before. Was this a rental car? Do you folks drive rental cars like you drive your own car? I do. I mean, I don't try to abuse cars, but I think a lot of people abuse rental cars. So, you know, and plus, instead of having a one-owner car or a two-owner car, that car has been driven by thousands of different people. You know, some people are left-foot driver breakers. You know, are you a left-foot braking person? I was talking to a good friend of mine the other day who experienced amateur race car driver, and he brakes with his left foot. I said, did you not go to driver's ed? He said, yeah, but I've always just, that's something I've always done. I do the gas with my right foot and the brake with my left. I said, what do you do when you have a car with a manual transmission? He says, well, I don't use my left foot to brake then. I use it on the clutch. I use my right foot for both. Well, why don't you just be consistent? He pushed back on that. Ideally, if you talk to most people, I guess, they drive with one foot, unless they're, you know, like I said, pushing in a clutch. You know, there's only about 14% of adults under 30 that can drive a manual transmission car. And that's understandable because they just really haven't been available. They're not out there like they used to be. I remember in the old days, if you bought a small car, you bought a manual because if you didn't, the automatics were so sorry back then that, you know, they just... you couldn't get the performance out of it. And there was a time where if you wanted the fastest 0 to 60 time, which, you know, all the car magazines talk about how fast a car will go 0 to 60. If you wanted the fastest time in a drag race or whatever, you got a manual transmission because the automatics didn't have enough gears. And they weren't spaced right. And so much depends on, it's not just the gearing of the transmission, but it's also the rear end, you know, the differential. What's the ring gear and pinion saying about this whole thing? Well, they do have an impact. You know, I don't know if you know this or not, but if you're buying a truck, then you're going to have a choice in what your rear end gear ratio is. I usually get, and when I'm buying an F-150 or, you know, or maybe an F-250 for that matter, I'm going to probably go with a 373 or a 410. Gear. I know that's going to hurt my gas mileage. The higher the number, then the lower the gear means that it's going to have fewer revolutions per mile, or no, more revolutions per mile. The lower the gear, that means it's going to get better fuel economy. So, you know, occasionally we will sell an F-150. I don't remember what the higher gear ratios are. I would say, it's weird, you say higher, but it's a lower number. Isn't that weird? But that's the way they do it. You got to be careful when you're buying a pickup truck, especially if you're going to do any towing. If you're just going to be driving around them, you know, you can go with a 336 or a 355 gear and you'll be fine. But if you're going to be doing any towing or you want to win at the local Thunder Valley at Amateur Day, then you're going to want a lower gear, which is a higher number. Have I confused you totally? I apologize for that if I did. It is somewhat confusing. It took me a while to be able to figure it out. But this whole transmission thing is a big deal. Let's say you're buying a car on Carvana. You don't get to look at it, don't get to test drive it, but it's a manual. How do you know how that car has been driven? Maybe the person, it was a hot rodder, you know, and they like to race and drop the clutch, or they burn they're terrible on hills, and they smoke the clutch. You just don't know, and then when you get in it, and all of a sudden, 10,000 miles later, it needs a new clutch. Who pays for that? You do. So anyway, while buying habits have changed, common sense is still supposed to be pretty common. But you know, if you have no experience with something like a car, like gear ratios, transmission choices, buying cars in general, there's a lot of young folks say, well, you know, they never even think about whether it's been smoked in. Would you buy a car that has a really strong smoke smell in it? I wouldn't. Or what about one of those musty smells? You know, sometimes cars get musty because somebody on a regular basis left the windows down when it was raining. Or they could have just lived in an area that, you know, has a lot of high humidity. And there's been a lot of Mountain Dews spilled in the floorboard. You just don't know. Folks, don't buy a car like that. Go drive the car. Give it the smell test. You know, just make sure. Check the owner history. Please do an auto check or a Carfax. And don't believe everything you read about it. You know, the other day I was complaining about Carfax and auto check. And, you know, they just... Sometimes they make mistakes. You know, I was looking at a car the other day that had showed one accident on Carfax. It showed nothing on AutoCheck. As far as I could tell, we looked the car over really well. It's never had a lick of paint anywhere. We can tell. We even did the, I have this little device that will measure the paint thickness. It's an electronic little doodad. And you put it up against the paint finish. And it tells you how many microns the paint thickness are. And it's supposed to be around anywhere from the factory. It's going to be where anywhere from 3.5 to about maybe 5.5. If you go to get up in 7 or 8 as far as thickness, then that car has the factory paint on it plus an extra layer of paint where it has been repaired and fixed. But these are things that you just cannot really see just buying something online. So I know I'm old-fashioned. I can't help it. That's just the way I am. Okay, I'll be back here in just a minute. Okay, I'm back. I was just looking at something on USA Today. I don't know if you can trust anything they say or not, but sometimes I will go to their car department. Wonder why I would go there. It's under the business section, and they have a section devoted to cars. One of the questions somebody asked was, how much does it cost to charge a Tesla? Well, according to Energy Sage, whoever that is, says that the average cost to charge a Tesla is about $13.96. Now, that cost ranges from $9.62 to $18.30, depending on the model. And also, they charge extra if you want it to charge faster. So that's good to know. Do you own a Tesla? I don't. Do you own an electric car? I guarantee you don't. Well, you might. But like I say, you know how I feel. Well, I've talked about how I feel on electric cars. We're about 15 years off. They want you to think that it's right around the corner. It's not. We don't have charging infrastructure in place. It's going to be a novelty for a while. Also, Electrek, that's somebody else, calculates that most models will cost between $4 and $5 for 100 miles of charge if you charge at your casa, which is home. In Spanish, a home charger installation, however, can cost between $800 to $2,000 to install a charger. Now, you just paid a bunch of money for an electric car, and then you get home and you plug it into the 110 outlet, and it takes a week and a half to, well, not really, probably 3 or 4 days to get a full charge with your 110 outlet. And you say, well, this isn't going to work, because I got to use my car every day. So what's it going to cost to be able to charge it faster? Well, I just told you, between $800 and $2,000. So isn't that exciting? Plus, when you're traveling down the road, you get down to almost to the beach. Let's say you're at Orangeburg, and you say, man, I don't know if I can make it all the way to Myrtle. So you wouldn't go that way. Charleston. Let's say you're going to Charleston, South Carolina, not West Virginia. And you probably didn't make that mistake, but since I'm from West Virginia, I always say that. So you stop at Orangeburg, and you pull up to the charging station. All of them are full, and there's 8 cars waiting. So you're calculating, you do a little bit of math, and you're thinking, okay, I'll be sitting here for about 3 hours. That doesn't sound appealing to me either. 81% of charging is going to come at home, according to the Department of Energy estimate. 14% of charging happens at work, currently, I guess, and 5% at commercial chargers. So apparently a lot of people aren't using the commercial chargers because, from what I've read, they're not very reliable. Car and Driver did a test, a long test. They went a pretty big distance, and they had a miserable failure when it came to chargers that they would encounter. They were showing the 49,000 or so chargers that are in the United States, and they would show up and it wouldn't work. That would be frustrating, especially if you have only 2 miles of range left. If you don't have an at-home charger, there are public places to charge via. Yeah, right. Is charging a Tesla cheaper than filling your car up with gas? Well, they did a little sample here. At 40 miles per gallon, if you're driving a vehicle that gets 40 miles per gallon, and there are a lot of cars that will get 40 miles per gallon, you drive 100 miles, it costs $11.55 if you pay $4.62 per gallon. Now, gas is a little bit cheaper than that now. So, you know, it might be $10 or $10.50, something like that. Tesla range can run as low as $3 a charge for 100 miles. So would you rather pay $3 to go 100 miles or $11, let's say 10 bucks, to go 100 miles? Well, again, it depends on what am I going to face when I go to fill it back up again, because that's going to be an issue. Electric vehicle batteries are made to last a long time. Tesla battery capacity still averages about 90% after 200,000 miles. That's going to be important because if you have to replace that battery in that Tesla, it can't, well, for the lower models, like a Model 3, 14 grand. But if you have to put a new engine in a car because it blows up, then it's a comparable cost, I guess. Now, what about the electric motor? Apparently, those things don't wear out. I don't know. Now, that's for a Model 3. If you have a Model S, which is the more expensive one, so this is a car that sells for $120,000, somewhere in that neighborhood. It's going to cost you about $20,000 to put a new battery in it. I don't know. Maybe that appeals to you. It just... And I truly believe that those prices are going to come down, don't you? I mean, everything typically does. From a technology standpoint, things really come down. I remember my first Dell laptop. I don't remember the year. Somehow I'm thinking like 93, 94. Maybe that's not right. I leased it because it was so expensive. It was $5,800 for my Dell laptop. And back then they were pretty slow. I felt like that was really something I needed to have. Leased it. I think my payments were $250 a month for a certain period of time. The little computer, I think the last laptop I bought, I had. Normally I buy Apple stuff, and of course I'm an Apple guy, but for some applications here, I have to use a Microsoft product. Yuck. And so I had to go out and buy a laptop, and so I tried to find something as cheap as I could find, and cheapest I could find was about $450, but it was like light years. It was like Star Trek compared to Flash Gordon. Of course, most of you don't know who Flash Gordon is. Some of my elderly patrons probably remember Flash Gordon. Have you watched one of those, like on YouTube? If you are young, just go to YouTube and watch a Flash Gordon episode. I mean, it's that was high tech, I guess, back in the 40s and 50s, maybe 30s. I'm not sure exactly when they were making it, when Flash Gordon was big. I know my dad had some Flash Gordon toys, so it's probably from the 30s and 40s. Who knows? But as this technology improves, you know, I think the big thing, as I've been talking about, is going to be the solid-state batteries. I think you really need to think about, you know, if you've got other cars, you've got something you can put gas in, you've got something you can travel in. If you want to go out and buy an electric car, fine. You know, if you think it'll enhance your social status to buy an electric car, if you need that, then go ahead and buy one. You know, you'll be the talk of the party. But, you know, if you really want a deal, I mean, it's from a pricing standpoint, the electric car is not going to be the deal. Now, Jim Farley, who's the CEO of Ford, he would probably slap my hand or my mouth if he heard me talking like this, because he is a big, big, big fan of all this new tech stuff. But anyway, you just really got to think about it. What's it going to do to the service department in a dealership? I'll tell you here in just a minute. So do you change the oil in an electric car? No, you don't. You know, as far as maintenance engines and stuff like that, I think there will be warranty issues just like there are with Teslas. Teslas are Well, they're better now, but they were pretty shoddy as far as overall quality is concerned. You know, Consumer Reports, you know what electric car that they're recommending the most right now? It's not Tesla. It's the Mustang Mach-E. You know, I really think the domestic, the big three or the big two and a half are going to be the going to have the lion's share of the market. People still think Tesla has a distinct advantage because they got such an early start and they have a gazillionaire for a CEO who's a really smart guy. And they have kind of a head start. And as far as technology is concerned, I mean, shoot, he's building spacecraft as well. So, you know, maybe the Tesla battery system, maybe it's going to charge a little faster. I don't know. Have a little bit longer range. Nobody knows that for sure, especially if this solid state stuff happens. And that's not Tesla. That's other companies that are advancing this solid state battery situation. That would make it much more viable. I think I would consider driving an electric vehicle if I had 500 miles of range and I could charge in 15 minutes or less. Then I'm going to be happy. And if there are places to charge, because I'm stressed enough driving down I-26 in a gasoline car in all these lines, and I pull into the gas station and get gas and stuff like that. I don't need something else to frustrate me. And you don't either. So, you know, we'll see how that happens. There's a lot of recalls right now, folks. Are you paying attention to your recall notices? I had three on my F-150. However, one of them was asking me if I wanted to install Blue Cruise, and that's where complete hands-free driving, kind of like Tesla, you know, where I don't have to put my hands on the steering wheel and the car drives itself. You know what my decision was on that? It was a big no. I'm just not going to trust some techno guy in who knows where with the driving responsibilities of my car because of his software writing ability. No, thank you. I'd rather just risk it, you know, with my all the years of driving experience that I have. Would you have downloaded that? Oh, also, you have to pay for it. You have to pay a monthly subscription or an annual subscription to have the automatic driving. And you're not supposed to just, you know, grab a copy of the Greenville Sun and start reading it while you're going down the road or read a book or watch a movie. You're supposed to still be paying total attention on the road so that you can take over if the computer screws up. Until they perfect it to the point where I don't have to worry about that, then I'm out. So anyway, just some more updates on what's going on in the industry. I promise I will not always pick on electric vehicles, but if I have some information I think you need to think about, maybe you're not looking at it from the right perspective. Not that my perspective is always right. It's just I have a little bit more experience at this than some others do. Thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru, and we'll talk to you Monday.